This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled Trust and Confidence Amidst Distractions, was delivered on February 24th, 2019. Here now is Chaplain Frank.
Oh, that's loud. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Sun is out. Okay, probably going to get muggy here real quick. However, what a blessing to have everyone in here. When I was, come on phone, cooperate. When I was up here playing, and every now and then I'd glance up and look out, it's like, wow, there's a lot of folks here. And I about ran off the stage, but I was tethered, so I couldn't go very far. Hey, listen, what a beautiful song. One more hand for them. Man, that was just, you know, that song is so nice, and the part I was sharing with Pastor Aaron, and I think we're going to do this, so just heads up for everybody with their kids here, is I love how there's a children's choir, I forget where they're from, that accompany at the end, and they're kind of doing an echo part in there, and I think it would be really, really awesome. Show of hands who would love to see our kids come up one time and kind of do one of those things with us. Yes. Okay, good. That's a confirmation. I can live with that. Okay, so we got to find a song, and then we got to practice. So just lift us up with that as we step out boldly, because I think having the kids getting more and more involved in finding where their skills and their talents are is important. And I think also being able to push them, right? We, like today, I don't know if you could tell, but I'll spill the beans. We had two new songs out today, and we were really excited to play them, but we really didn't have a lot of time to practice. So this really was, okay, God, you got to take the wheel, because it was a good arrangement, but it was complicated, and there was a lot of moving parts. So I think the same thing is our discomfort, in a sense, of being up here, because we have a job to usher in the Holy Spirit and make this place open and welcoming and bring you folks in and allow the Spirit to come in and minister to us. But we've got to do that in a manner that is honoring to God. And I think if we bring the kids up, we can do that. And that kind of segues in here with the my message today on trust and confidence amidst distractions. It's another way of it. There's spiritual warfare going on, yeah? It's always happening with us. There's things that are going on that just get up inside our head, and it distracts us. So, you know, when we go through our day, we're at work, we're walking with God, we're in our prayer closet, you know, we're raising our family, we're facing all the challenges of life, and we deal with distractions all the time. And some of them, they're when they come up and they're like, oh gosh, I forgot about that, and then you got to tend to it. And other things, they just kind of seem to be busy and this and that, and they pull you away from what I'm trying to focus on is our time that we're trying to focus or spend with the Lord. So throughout the day, yes, that can be problematic. I get that. But that's a little too broad for what I'm trying to share with us today. This is just when we're trying to really come close to the Lord, when we're really trying to lean into him, and we're trying to lean in and have faith and be trustful and confidence in who he says we are, and then Satan coming along and distracting us, okay? So that's where I wanted to talk about this. So we know Jesus was tempted by Satan. In the end, Satan came up there and there were several times, as we know in the Bible, he was trying to tempt him. If you do this, fall down, worship me, I'll give you all of this. If you do one miracle, you know, so Jesus was tempted. So again, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he doesn't know about intimately. So he's already been there, done that. So this gives us an opportunity to learn what he was doing. You notice Jesus would always go off and pray by himself and then come back. He'd leave, come back, leave, come back. And it wasn't like just to decompress for the sake of decompressing. He had to get close to the Father to get re-energized and refocused so he could come back and do his ministry. So Satan uses distractions to interfere and distract us from our kingdom work, the Great Commission, right? Love God, love one another. Satan is a good, skilled liar that does that really, really well, really well. So part of where this came from is a few weeks ago, I was approached by one of our brothers here in church, and he came up to me, and I wasn't speaking. I forget what I was doing, and he came up, and I could see in his face something was going on with him, and I really had to, like, steel up, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen and how I was going to be useful. But I could feel it, and I could see it in his face, and something was just bothering him. And I'm going to paraphrase our conversation, but basically, he came and he said, you know, I feel unworthy of God's love because I get these intrusive, distracting, scary, provocative thoughts during service. And I was listening, and I said, oh. And I kind of, somewhat of a smile, and I had a lot of emotions going on, and I said, okay. And I didn't want to minimize it. I said, I hear you. Me too. And we had this moment right there where there was this connection, this validation that it happens. It happens while I'm here. And I'm sure it happens to all of us throughout service. We get distracted. But he was talking about some really, really hard things were coming at him. And it's basically, we can all think back in our past of things we've done, things we've said, places we've been, all of these things that are the old self compared to now. And those things, Satan will use that and throw that at us. And that was what was going on with my friend. So I was able to say, look, I know you're upset about this. And he wanted to really know, am I the only one in here with this? Am I not normal? Is there something wrong with me? I don't feel I'm worthy to be here. And I said, whoa, hold on. You're worthy of God's love. You're worthy of God's acceptance. I was really grateful he had asked me. And it wasn't because I had some scripture ready to go. It was just, I didn't sugarcoat it, sweet talk him. Like I said, I just connected with him. I said, I know exactly how you feel. Happens to me. So I was giving him a couple of examples of things that come up that happened to me. So, like, for instance, I'm driving, I'm listening to K-Love, songs are on, I'm listening, singing, and all of a sudden I see a nice muscle car or a hot rod, and I'll, like, turn it down and drop my window just to listen to the engine. Blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. Oh, right, yeah, we're laughing. And it's like, wow, that's a really nice car. And then I have a moment of jealousy and covet. Like, man, I wish I had that Chevy or Ford or whatever, right? So it's a distraction because I was in the moment of praising God and listening to him and being ministered to him, and I turned it down for something that my flesh really enjoys, which is vehicles. And, you know, so that's a safe example, right? But it happens to me. Sometimes when we're in here and the trucks are driving by and I'm like, oh my gosh, my wife needs, you know, we got to get the rocks for the yard and fill it in, and don't forget to let James know I need to come by. I'm like distracted, and it's fleeting. It only takes a moment, but when those trucks are running up down the road, I'm like, oh, I should have called them and just tell them, come to my house. That's some things that happen to me. Other times, they're worse. Back when I was in the Marine Corps and we were in places that we were just crazy and we had to let off steam and we were in trouble but not getting caught, right? Been there, done that. I've been really blessed to have done some really bad things and never get called on the rug for it. Friends of mine got caught, and I don't know if I was smarter or they were stupider, but I had to live by their example because it was just hard. So I was blessed to not get always caught up in the consequences, but I've been in some rough spots, and sometimes those things come flooding back into me. You're no good, you're unworthy, you're not lovable, look at all of this, look at this stuff you didn't deal with, this and that and the other thing, and it distracts me from what we really need to do. It takes away my ability to have trust and confidence. So what's my point? Our flesh gets distracted. We have things on our minds. Sometimes we think we can multitask. We can one or two things. After that, we start to get diminished returns. But the point is, we're trying to do things like pay attention in service, but remember, oh my gosh, after this, I got to run to Costco, and you're going over the list in your head. You know, it happens, right? But it's a distraction. And it slowly erodes in our trust and confidence of why we're here when we're checking in and fellowshipping. But Satan, he'll come along with his lies, and he'll do one of two things. He'll bring the shiny, nice things. He'll bring the hot rod that looks good and sounds good to distract me. Ooh, ah, nice, wow, right? But I'm distracted. Or he'll flatter us, something like that, that'll come along. Hey, that's good, and you're doing well there. Everything's locked on. You got money in your bank account. Bills are paid. You're just doing really good. And you're feeling like, yeah, I got this. And it's like, wait, that's God's bills. That's God's money. This is God's job, not mine. I just am stewarding this for the moment. So Satan, if that isn't working, he'll do, oh, but you remember way back when, such and such? Hey, you remember that person, so-and-so? You remember that guy? You remember that girl? Remember that time when? Oh, that's right. You were too drunk or stoned to remember. Ha. Huh? Right? And you're like, right? It happens to me. So those are the things that are coming on when we're not trusting and having confidence. We're being distracted. So in my conversation with my friend, it was short, but it was meaningful, and I just really felt stirred after that. I mean, that afternoon I was talking to my wife, I think I've got a topic for a message because this thing really hit me hard. I can't be the only one who struggles with trusting and confidence in a moment when Satan is just beating me down time and time again. And how do I need to shift that paradigm from this fleshly part of me that is real into knowing where God wants us? So we got to look up to God. During praise and worship, during our devotions and study, Satan's a skilled robber. He's a skilled thief. But those are really his only tools. He's simple, but he's good. He's really good at that. Not a problem. The Bible tells us that. He'll distract us when we are focused. If we're moving along at a nice clip and things are going well, he'll throw little wrenches in there to slow us down and throw us off our pace. Or if we're resting, which I saw a nice thing on Facebook. It wasn't a scriptural quote, but it just said, I'm paraphrasing, rest is God's way of allowing us to renew and refresh. And that's what the devil wants to take from us. You know, when you're kind of like getting that downtime, like, oh, this feels so good. And then, oh, don't forget about this. And then there's that. And your wife wanted this. And work said this. And all of a sudden, you're like, I can't rest now. I'll rest when I'm dead. Yeah. But rest is when we can settle in and get our minds back where we need to. So Satan, when we're trying to rest, he wants to speed us up. Or if we're going at a nice clip and we're moving along, he wants to slow us down. So those are his tools. That's what he's going to do. The good news is we have a good battle plan. Some of the quick reminders are we put on that armor of God each and every day. The armor of God is what we need to be protected. Okay? We spend time in his presence for devotions. Start small. Start simple. But start. Okay? You know, we have different things are in the church where we're meeting with pastor and Bible studies and home groups. But grab that Bible, open it up, and read something. Grab the study guide that's in the back right over there. You can follow along with us if you want. If not, just get in there. If you're listening to K-Love and the word of the day comes on and it speaks to you, go into the Bible, find where that verse is, read before and read after it. Get some context. Get some understanding, especially if it speaks to you and go, ooh, that was good. Write it down. Then go in and visit it. Start somewhere because the devil's going to go, you ain't doing it every day. Oh, and you missed a day. And now it's been a month and you got to catch up. That's all baloney. Just start. Just start right now, okay? So in building this, when I was talking with God, or he's talking with me and trying to build a message for the conversation, I wanted to give some encouraging, uplifting, and clarifying scriptures to assist us. I can't leave you empty-handed. So the first one, if you can get into your Bibles, okay, we're doing this. Bibles, who got them? Who got them? Who got them? Lift them up. Good, good. If you don't, find one. If you need one, let us know. We will hook you up. We still have Bibles, yeah, Pastor? Okay, good. Now, first one, Psalms. So it's kind of in the middle of the Bible area. We get over to after Job, before Proverbs. So Psalms 31:14. Now, I've got a King James in front of me, but I took it from the NASB. So this one, it says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. That's out of the NASB. For my new King James, where did it go? 31:14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. So we have the trust in there. Now, I want to deviate just a second and give you some background, some wording off of this. So the trust in Adonai, trust in God is called bitachon in Hebrew. It's a word that comes from the root word meaning to lean on, feel safe, or be confident. So if we're trusting, we're leaning on. If we're trusting, you feel safe. If we're trusting, we're confident in. I'm not. I'm confident that he got it. Okay? So that part, that word, bitachon, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, it primarily involves an act of the heart and our will, our choice. When I trust in God, I emotionally decide to put my expectations, my hopes, and my dreams in his hands and his timing. Bata is a word that means trust in Hebrew. Bata expresses the same sense of well-being and security. Trust, well-being, security, which results from having something or someone in whom to place confidence. Children place their confidence in mom and dad. We place our trust and confidence in our government as we're praying for them, or in our police, or in the firemen, or that the electrician who installed the wires in the house knew what he was doing. We trust them that it's not some goofy job. We have trust in confidence in someone. Now, it's not to be confused with this sense of believing in. Oh, I believe in this and I believe in that, as in a faith, which is a choice of stuff. Rather, it's to hope on, to rely on, or be persuaded by God. It's an act of faith and belief in his covenant with us. We following that? It's his covenant. It's his promise to us that we can trust him and we can have confidence in his word. So if we can trust and have confidence in his word, when Satan is coming along and bugging us, which he will do right now, and then again, right, because it's happening now, we can take a breath and go, all right, but I trust my God. I have confidence in my Lord because that's my choice and that's where I'm going and that's where I want to spend my time and presence with him. So in general, our Old Testament provides a contrast of what sense of confidence comes from relying on God. That's the Old Testament part. They really were relying on God through the prophets to get somewhere, get something done, or move along. But it's a trust that will result. Hold on a sec. If they weren't having this trust in God, they were ending up with an immaturity and a kind of security like in the golden calf. They were ending up in the wrong thing. So they either were trusting in God or they would get thrown off, and that would result in disgrace and shame and sometimes punishment. But if we have our hope in God, we can be delivered from the enemy. We can be delivered from Satan. Number two, this is in Proverbs, which is right past Psalms. So we can scoot over to Proverbs. We know this one. I love this one, right? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. This is in, I took this one out of the NIV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In my King James, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust and confidence. We trust in God to tell us to do this. So there's a song on K-Love playing right now called, it's titled Only Jesus by Casting Crowns. And I had races the past 2 weekends, so I'm on the Punta Eva stretch. It's 6:30 in the morning, and radio's on loud, and I'm jamming along. And, you know, part of the lyrics is, and I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus, right? We know this song, show of hands. We got that song, right? And that's playing, and I'm like, man, that's so good. And I'm like, and I am driving 65. I hope I arrive alive. Help me, Jesus. I got distracted. I was singing. It was great. So luckily, I was in the right lane, and cars were passing me, so I thought I was good. I was moving along, but traffic was passing me, so I wasn't thinking anything of it till I looked at the speedometer. But I was distracted in the middle of worship, breaking the law. It happens, and I'm glad you can laugh with me and we can find humor in that, and I'm so blessed that a blue light was not in back of me, and if he was, I would have just like, I don't know what I would have done. But you could see, so even in the midst of worship, I was glorifying God. I was singing along. I was like, oh, this is a song I can actually sing. And I got derailed and I fell short because there I am speeding down the road with my Races for Christ on the back of the car. And I'm just like, oh, Lord. So that just happened. But it's our flesh, which is Satan's favorite trick. He wants to go after us and tear us down, lie and distract us from God. So I slowed down and I drove along. You know, I mean, we were moving. Traffic was going. I slowed down and it was fine and we got alive. We got there and arrived alive. But as we strengthen our relationship with Jesus and we learn more about his character, he already intimately knows us. And we're the ones in the state of discovery about God. He knows us before we were even around, right? He knows every hair on our head. We're in the ones who are in discovery, so we go through this process of learning to trust him and understand him and come to know him better. He looks at our heart condition, right? And I want us to look at how his heart is conditioned towards us, his acceptance and his unconditional love of us is a matter of trust, that he has our best interests as his top priority. Satan doesn't. Satan wants to tear you down. He wants to make you feel bad, feel neglected, feel disempowered, unloved, unwanted, unaccepted. And that's just bold lies. Jesus loves us. He loves you. He loves me. That's why we continue to trust in him. Even when we're down and we're not feeling it, his word confirms it. And I'll be closing with that, but that's the part that's important. There's going to be times we don't feel that way, and that's okay. We've got to have the trust and confidence that that's not the reality. Our feelings doesn't comport with what God says is the truth. Okay? That's the part here, folks. So number four, Proverbs. We're still kind of, I tried to make this easy. We're in the middle of the Bible, just toggling forward or back, nothing too crazy. So let's, I skipped one. I did. Three. How did I do that? Isaiah. So this one, yeah, with this one we got him. He's stretching me out, isn't he? Okay. So let's go to Isaiah, which is, keep going past Proverbs. Keep going past Song of Solomon, and then you'll get to Isaiah 12. So surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. That's consistent. For Yah, in my New King James, for Yah, the Lord is my strength and song, and also has become my salvation. Those two are pretty parallel. So through the cross, as the song that they danced for us this morning, through the cross, Jesus guaranteed our salvation. It's a free gift for everyone, not just us here, everyone out there. He just didn't die for us. He died for every single person who's already passed, who isn't born, and who's walking around now. We can't earn this. We can't purchase it, but we can get it. It's a tall order for us to trust and not be afraid. We've been hurt. We've been lied to. We've been let down. We've been disappointed, but not God. And I don't want us to ascribe to God's character things that our friends and our family and our loved ones in their flesh, in their time of hurting, in their time of pain, have let us down. That is not how God wants us to work this through. That's our realities, but that's not what God wants us to do. So some days and situations, they're easier than others, granted. this scripture is not only giving God the glory, but it's giving God our day. I trust and will not be afraid. I'm trusting I'm going to be able to go to work. I'm trusting I'll get paid. I'm trusting the bills will get taken care of, that there'll be enough. I'm trusting that my health continues to get better and not worse. But if it does, that's his will, and I've got to get comfortable in that because he's got a plan in there. We need to place all of these things at the foot of his altar. For if the blessings and triumphs are his and give him glory, well, then so must the challenges and the struggles be his as well. We cannot just come up and go, oh, thank you, Lord, in the good times, and this is really great, and we sing your praises and your glory, and forget to do that in the midst of when we're crying and we're upset and we're pissed and we're tearing things apart and we're gnashing our teeth. That's where we got to take it to the altar and give it to God. We have to lean on him as my strength and my defense, because in that moment, there's that salvation. We have eternity salvation. We get that concept. But in that moment, he's your salvation also. So having a job's good. I'm so blessed. It's a perfect job of mine. I'm really enjoying it. And God provides. But the bills that we have, those are God's as well. So when my wife and I, mostly my wife, when my wife pays the bills, those are God's as well. It's all his. Everything he has is his. My good health is his. My challenges are his. So how's our attitude in the face of the adversity? As we trust in God and we're not fearful, God gets to show up and show off and get the glory. We have peace of mind. We reap the benefits of his blessings, and we find comfort seeing he's in control. So this past weekend, on Sunday, I do a service at the track, and It's relatively short for now, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And I usually wind myself into a tizzy and get all wound up for no reason. So I was sitting there and, you know, the weather had been really weird during the week, but beautiful both weekends. And I wasn't sure. There were like, I don't know, five race cars and six people there. And of the six, five of them were the workers. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's not going to be anyone here. So I made the announcement, hey, we're going to have service, this and that, whatever time. And I started in, and I had about five people there. And all of a sudden, about eight more showed up. I don't know where they came from. I was like, holy moly. I just had to relax, get into what I wanted to share, and get out of God's way. Because it's not my job to have people show up. It's my job to make sure I'm ready to go at the time I said I'm going to do this thing. So again, God went, yeah, you silly rabbit, watch this. And he just, boom, people showed up. Kids were showing up. I'm like, where are they coming from? Come on in. Yeah, great. So I was like, oh, this is so awesome. So we got through that beautiful time. And then afterwards, this really knocked me over. Because, you know, I'm down there and I pray with people before they're racing or in the pits and this and that. But this family came up and the mother said, can you come over and bless our car? Now, I've prayed with people, but I haven't blessed a car yet. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. It was her son's junior dragster. The boy was seven years old. I was like, oh, yes, absolutely. It was such a beautiful time for me to be able to just do something. I didn't know what I was going to do, so we just thanked God and prayed for the moment. But I was so wound up, and I forgot to trust him. I didn't have confidence because I was thinking, man, this has to work. It's God's ministry. I'm just a body that he's using at the time. So that's an example that just last Sunday, I ran into a wall of lack of trust and lack of confidence. And God made that moment so beautiful. And then people started to show up. Yeah, Ryland, it got nice. The weather was good. You guys was hot lapping. You had to park your bikes because they were getting overheated. I mean, we had to give them so much time. There were just hardly any cars. So people were just, woof, 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 woof. Where are you? I got to let my car cool down. My motorcycle's overheating. I've been running it too hard. So we had to just let them relax. But it was a beautiful day. Trusting and confidence. I lacked it. I kind of just let go, but God immediately showed up and said, here, we got this. So number four, now I can go to number four. So let's go back over to Proverbs, back in the middle over there of our Bible. Going backwards, let me get in here. Okay, so Proverbs in the NIV up here. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, which was kind of what I was doing before I started the service last weekend, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if you're thinking of the metaphor here of mining for treasures, mining for silver, mining for precious metal or gems, and you look at this as the mine, and you got to get in this thing and into God's word, you find treasures. You discover things about God and his character and about yourself. So we have, if we look, we're instructed to look for insight and understanding. We go in here. In other words, wisdom, insight and understanding. God wants us to find wisdom. He wants us to seek out his word and his love for us as if it's a hidden treasure. So it's don't think of it as like it's hot, it's grueling, it's sweaty, it's hard work. Think of it as like a treasure hunt in the mall, you know, like one of those search things in college where they're like scavenger hunting. That's a little easier and more palatable maybe, but it's a scavenger hunt. You're scavenging for gems. You know what you're looking for, not just like bubblegum or quarters or things of that nature like a scavenger hunt, but you're looking for the gems that God has. If we're able to do that and we search for these as hidden treasure or a precious metal, I don't think God keeps any of this impossibly or permanently hidden from us. I think in our flesh, at least for me, I get lazy. If it doesn't jump out at me, oh, I got to dig a little further. I got to turn the page in the Bible to get to the next part, right? But that's what he wants us to do. Spend time in him, in his word. Get to know what's going on in there. It does take some of our time. It does take our dedication. And searching takes some energy and effort to make the discoveries. But if you think of it in this terms, this Bible, think of it as a love letter. There's hundreds of love letters to everybody's heart in here. If you look at it as a letter that you're going to keep from a loved one, and you're going to put it in your hope chest or stash it by your diary or whatever it is, and every now and then you pull it out to read what they say about you, then maybe that'll change your perspective on searching for treasures. Because why do we keep these letters? When we go back and we read them, it gives us some new insight. It reminds us of something we have forgotten about because Satan's trying to block that from us. So I want to encourage you, look at this as a mind that's easy to mine. It's not impossible. They're love letters to your heart. It's customized for each of us. Every time we read it and study, something to a situation and a circumstance gets revealed. How many of us, show of hands, have read a particular verse, and then when you read it again, it means something new and refreshing and different? Praise God. Look at that. There's so many. Thank you. You can put your, so it's validating when you look around. You can read the same thing over and over again, and you can get new insight, new wisdom, new encouragement, new ability to have trust and confidence in God. So I want to encourage you to reread these letters and go through them. Now I want to unpack part of what it says over here in the find the knowledge of the Lord. They speak in the Bible about the fear of the Lord. And I don't see this as being scared of. You have a fear that is out of respect. We have a fear that's out of reverence. So part of one of my examples would be when I was in high school and we were playing football, I was at St. Louis. Kamehameha at that time was kind of our, not rival, but nemesis, but that was one of the teams that we just seemed to be always banging heads with while I was there. Not that the other teams at Punahou or Iolani were any less of a challenge, but it was Kamehameha. So some of us, we had a respect or a fear for them, not because they were necessarily better or bigger or badder or whatever. It was just that they were good. And we knew for us to compete, we'd have to be good. We'd have to work hard. We'd have to lift. We'd have to run. We'd have to study. We'd have to know our plays. We'd have to do our special teams. We'd have to get into the film room. We'd have to practice, review. No more than different than this. Getting in and reading. Getting in and unpacking. Digging through the nuggets. All the answers are there. But there was it was a healthy fear based on knowing they're working just as hard. Satan will come against you when you're not working or if you're doing something just to distract you and get you off your game. We got to go back to God. So the way I'm approaching the fear of the Lord is from the perspective that we're in awe of his power. We're reasonably fearful due to respecting the covenant he's given us. If we're operating out of fear because something bad's going to happen or God's going to punish us, that's not what I'm referencing. Okay? Yes, there's consequences to our actions, and we're held accountable for those things, but that's not God's fault. That's just the way things work. It catches up to us, and we have consequences that we've got to address and deal with when we don't make, you know, legal choices or healthy choices or whatever. There's just consequences. That's not God's fault. He just doesn't get in the way of those things necessarily because consequences are meant to teach us things. There's positive consequences, negative consequences. I eat too much. I don't exercise. I'm not sleeping well. I'm gaining weight. Well, there's negative consequences to that. But if I'm eating well and I'm exercising and I'm trying to be healthy and getting some rest and doing some things, and then there's positive consequences to that. We just got to be able to know where our fear is and that it's a fear not based out of punishment, but fear out of awe and reverence and respect. We want to be able to give God the glory for what we're going through because we want to lean on him and trust on him. So lastly, we know this one very well. Philippians, kind of more near the back of your Bible if you go past Acts and Romans. Everybody get over there into Philippians. If you went into Colossians, you went just a little too far. Philippians, it's a very, very short book. But I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That is the NIV. Where'd I go? 5. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is in my New King James. I like that one a little better. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So what does that say? It says when I'm weak, he's strong. That's how I see it. Now, my weakness can be any kind of I'm tired, God's refreshed. I'm overwhelmed, God's got room on his plate. I'm feeling depressed and sad, God's happy and joyful. All right, so whatever is my state of mind or being, the Lord is a direct opposite to that, and he is ready. Our part is to move my pride out of the side, not say I got it, and go, I need it. Not I got it. Yes, I need it. And let him come in there and do what he can do. Let God show up. Don't deny God the opportunity to come into your life and do something spectacular. Yes, your plan is good. Yes, you can get a lot of things done. I trust everybody in here that they know that. We're all of sound mind, sound bodies, good judgment. We can do things. But when God's got this stuff, he just makes things incredibly good. So what? Part of what I'm saying, it's 2019. We just rolled into this new year. 2012, I went through a pretty, it was one of my worst breakups. I'd been with someone 13 years, and we broke up. And I was lost. I was depressed. I was somewhat feeling like I didn't want to live, but I wasn't suicidal. I was a wreck at work. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. So I knew I wanted to get back in and plug in at church. So I'm driving, and I knew that there were some churches in the area. And as I just happened to be coming this way, I saw the New Hope signs. I pulled in, and I came in, and I, you know, pastor greeted me. Hi, who are you? I'm Frank. What's going on? And I remember I said, I'm looking for a church, and I want something to do. What can I do to help? And he said, can you do the parking lot? I said, yeah, I can wreck cars and put them wherever you want. He goes, no, can you line them up out here safely? I said, yeah, if you trust me, I can park a few cars. So I did parking lot ministry, and I stayed here, and I made this my home church. So if that, you know, that's a great story. I could stop right there and get off the stage. But if you'd have told me then that now, 6 years later, that not only would I be up here talking to you, I'd be like, you're high. That I'd be married to a beautiful woman? No, even though I wanted to be with someone, I didn't think it happened. That I'd have a house? No. How about a job that I've been wanting and wanting and wanting for a long, long time, like multiple years, like applying, being interviewed. Sorry, it's, you know, they're picking other people, getting, you know, and stop. Not about that. Having my race car, one that I thought I'd never be able to get into because it was just too big of a dream. It doesn't even fit in the garage. That's how big it is. It's sideways. It's sideways in the garage. It doesn't fit. If you'd have told me that back then, because I didn't have trust and confidence in God at the moment, it's not that I didn't think he could, I just didn't have the confidence, then, you know, you're wrong. Because I have all of those blessings from God. And I'm an impatient person. So I tell God pretty straight out. My conversation is, yes or no, show me, open the door. Make sure the ones that are closed are locked because I have a tendency to kick the doors in. And if they open, I'm going to be like, I don't know, maybe, because the door opened. That's how I see it. God is very clear with me. And he usually doesn't waste his time. When I'm like in a pickle and I put it on him, he pretty much sets me in my place right away. Right away. So my, you know, all my story, it's not to be up here and bragging. It's blessings that God's done for me because now he's got me in places where now I'm accountable to you guys. I could have easily been sitting, hiding somewhat where on the side and somewhat involved, but not really, and just living my life in my own way. Each of our stories, each of our testimonies is what brings people in here and puts seats in here. I mean, put people in here, not the seats. Puts people in the seats. Right? Your stories do that. In the world, when we're talking stories, it's like, yeah, my story is bigger than your story and my thing is better than your thing, right? Our flesh starts winding up into that. But in God's world, our testimony brings believers and people who are hurting into him. So I want to encourage you, your Olelo, your story, your testimony is vital because that is what nobody can take from you. They can bash scripture. They can go, no, it never done nothing for me. I don't believe in that. But when you go, let me tell you about where I was. Let me tell you where I've been. Or when you see friends that you knew 10, 15, 20 years ago that you did some things like, oh my God, I can't believe we got away with that. and you know, dark places you don't talk about very much, but they know and you know. That's your testimony. If you trust in God and you have confidence in Him for having Him here, having Him place you here today to hear this, then yes, you do belong. Yes, you are loved. Yes, you are wanted. I want you to clearly hear this. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So when we are anywhere near but doing things, matter of fact, just flip it on its head. Always, always, always ask God to come in and give you strength. Have Him come in and help you. Have Him come in and look at what you're doing. Have Him come in and speak to where you're at. Take a break, sit back, give it a moment or two or some time, and see what God might lead you to, because we all need to be here. When we're weak, He's strong. When we struggle, He straightens our path. When we fall short, He restores our position. When I say I got it, He waits. You go, all right, son, get on it. And then when I'm crawling and I'm crying and I'm bleeding and I'm beat up, and I look up to Him, He goes, all right, here we go. He'll take care of it. When we align ourselves with God, when we trust in His timing and His plan, He works. He moves quickly. Sometimes He does say wait. He never says no. He answers all our prayers. Rarely He says no. I can't say that. Most times it's wait. Sometimes it's yes. Every now and then it's probably a no. But a lot of times it's just wait. Hold on. Right? His timing. Which drives me crazy. I wish He would just align Himself with my plan, because I think I know what I'm doing. But He's God and I'm not, so I'm getting better at trusting Him. In our weakness, whatever that is or what it means, it's simply an opportunity to allow the Father to bless us, His children. We're His sons. We're His daughters. We're princes. We're princesses of the King. His strength is our strength. Our challenges is His moment to go, watch this. When we're facing distractions, I want you to recognize it, acknowledge it, and look to God. We can't hide it from Him. He knows. Satan's going to do his thing no matter what. Sometimes getting small and getting still is all God needs to come in and help us refocus. We don't need to be big and great. God does. When we're small, He can be big. I want you to re-examine the Scriptures. I want the Scriptures to speak to you. Never forget what God says who you are. Your sons, your daughters, your princesses, your princes, your priests and ambassadors, my friends. You are chosen, you are loved, you are accepted. You belong here. You are precious in God's eyes. Don't let Satan ever forget that. We can go on the offensive and tell him, brah, you are a thief and a liar. God loves me, and He always will, no matter what I do or what you do in my life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Give the Lord a clap. If I could get the worship team up. I'd like to give this opportunity, if you haven't had a chance to come to know God, and I'm still learning how to do this whole thing, but if you can, close your eyes, bow your head. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sin and I turn to you, Lord God. Lord, come into my life. Cleanse me and change me and make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. And I look to you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, can you please raise a hand? I want a prayer for you. If you prayed that, thank you. I see you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, you've seen the hearts of the people that raised their hand and made a declaration. You also heard the prayers of everyone else, Lord God. Lord, I ask you to watch over my friends here, to bless them, Lord, to keep them, to protect them and cover them, Lord, to comfort them. Lord, for those that are coming to know you, Lord, help them seek out help. Help them seek out those who can put them on a good path, Lord God. We praise and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If we could stand, we're going to close. What song are we going? Oh. A second. Everybody.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.